now listening to a very special message from Joy Community Church.
Father, we just come into your presence understanding the power of the light. We thank you for the river of life that flows from your heart, from your very being, from your spirit that washes us, cleanses us, renews and restores our minds and souls and spirits and hearts. We want to walk in the power of that light. We want it to wash over us and erase the memories of our past, the hopelessness within our past, the regrets and shame of our past. We want to walk as restored, redeemed individuals because of the beauty of that light. We thank you for the precious sacrifice of your Son, Jesus. As we watch the power of the blood in that song washing over that young lady and opening up her eyes and opening up her heart and open up her life to what you have for her. We do that this morning. We just say, Lord, do that for us. We just bless you for this breakthrough that you have for us in the Spirit of the living God. That the breakthrough can come in our praise, in our worship, in our hearts, in our minds, the things in our lives that we didn't expect a breakthrough to come at a specific time, date, hour. But you came. You came on the scene and you showed up. And you brought joy instead of despair. You brought freedom instead of isolation and fear. You brought love where there was rejection. You brought hope where there was hopelessness. And you brought forth a future that's found in the life and the love and the light of Jesus Christ. And we depend upon that resurrection power today. We live in it. We need it. It inspires us to be better human beings. So come, Lord Jesus, in our service. Let the word of the Lord wash over us. Let the word of the Lord come to us and inspire us. Let the word of the Lord have new life for us so that breakthrough can continue in our lives. We need you. Let that anointing of the Holy Spirit come right now in this room. Come, Holy Spirit, and flow in this place, releasing joy in this place, removing what I'm sensing in my spirit, that spirit of confusion, that spirit of isolation, that spirit that says your situation is not going to be answered or even addressed. I say, Lord, remove that heaviness of heart. Come, Holy Spirit, into this room right now and begin to minister to the quiet one who sits unnoticed, perhaps by us, but not unnoticed by you. And to that one who would even put others before themselves and allow the others to be ministered to on your behalf, would you go to that person and delight in their selflessness? Holy Spirit, let the anointing flow in this place. Let the anointing come and inspire us to new places in our walks with you. That breakthrough, we would all be able to confess and give testimony. I myself have had a breakthrough. God has been good to me. Oh, Lord, do we need a touch today? We need a touch this morning in this place. I'm sensing that, Lord. Whatever this heaviness in spirit is, we ask that you take that away, Lord. Things that perhaps are weighing people down, encumbering their time to hear, receive, remove it, I pray, in the name of Jesus. We're just here to glorify you. We're here to lift the name of Jesus. We're here to pay honor to you. Our attention is upon you, O Lord Jesus. That's where we want it this morning. We love you. Just tell him you love him, please. Just declare your love this morning. That is so awesome. Breakthrough, right? Just tell him what you need a breakthrough in. He just wants to, he's here. This is not part of my sermon, but I'm going to do it anyway because I just feel the Lord speaking to my heart. In Luke chapter 18, it says, as Jesus approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. Sense people begging in the spirit this morning. I really do. When he heard a crowd going by, he asked what was happening. And they told him, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. He called out, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Those who led the way rebuked him and told him to be quiet. And I sense there are some here that the enemies told you to be quiet. He's telling you to shut up. Mind your business. No one's interested. Can I tell you this? Jesus is very interested in you this morning. Amen? He never tells you to be quiet. And so he shouted out all the more. Son of David, have mercy on me. Some of you just need to say, God, have mercy on me this morning. Just have mercy on me. And Jesus stopped the whole party in the crowd. He stopped it. He ordered the man to be brought to him. It was a beggar, and he was a blind beggar. And when he came near, Jesus asked him, this is what I sensed in my spirit. This is the question Jesus has for you. What do you want from me? That has been in my spirit all week long. What do you want from me? The man gave a specific request. Lord, let's keep this simple. I want to see. And I just sense God saying, I'm asking you that question this morning. What do you want from me? And some of you would give a whole list. And he's saying, no, keep it simple. Just keep it simple. What do you want from me? Tell me right now what you want from me. I'm here to minister. I'm right here. I'm not pushing you aside. I'm not ignoring you. I'm in this place, and I want to do something for you. What do you want from me? And Jesus said, receive your sight. Your faith has healed you. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. Remember that? And so faith is the substance of things not yet seen. I'm not talking about those things that you even see, perhaps, but you just know in your spirit, I need this. Now, this week when he asked me that question, I didn't answer the question for a few days. I have answered that question. But it took me a few days. I said, well, Solomon was wise in the way that he answered those questions. I heard the question in my spirit, and I said, I'm not answering that yet, Lord, until I really think about, because I know you're going to do it, and I know I have the faith for you to do it. So I want to make sure it's the right thing you want me to, I need you to do, right? And some of you just write that question down. What do you want me to do for you? And then have the faith to ask God and watch him do it. Is that not a cool word of the Lord this morning? I love when he speaks to us and encourages our hearts. Well, we're still in our sermon series. We're wrapping it up this week on being stronger light, stronger salt, and maybe we need to be there one more week so I get that right, right? Stronger salt and brighter light. Well, I want to talk to you this morning about spotting potential in a way that how when you spot potential, how that is an actual way you can share the message of Jesus Christ with other people. I want you to go with me to Luke chapter 19. We're going to be looking at the first 10 verses of Luke chapter 19. We want to look at the story of Zacchaeus this morning. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and he said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be with the guest of a sinner?" But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anyone out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today, salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save what was lost." Great, great chapter. Jesus had a fantastic gift for seeing what nobody else could see. Love that about him. And because Jesus' mantra was, "All things are possible," many lives were transformed as he chose to look past the surface stuff to see what was ultimately possible through the power of his Father. Jesus capitalized on the possibility in people. He was convinced that hidden potential existed in every person's life. Look at the person next to you and say, "You have huge potential." Turn back and look at them and say, "Now believe it." Larry, did you get to say that? Good, thank you. I believe that Jesus had the corner on the potential market. I really do. We witness throughout Scripture how Jesus wondered what people could become, what they might look like and act like if they actually encountered the transformational power of God. Just walk across the room. The book Just Walk Across the Room states it this way. Jesus' supernatural vision regarding people's potential gave him irrepressible optimism as he engaged with beggars, liars, cowards, and crooks. He was able to release the hidden potential in people so that they could invest their lives in things of eternal value. That's why we share the light. That's why we are salt, because there is an impact for eternal value in people's lives. And Jesus knew that, and he didn't look on the exterior and just the surface stuff. He looked beyond it to touch, to see, to speak into existence the eternal value of his Almighty Father. That's what he wants to do this morning. That's what he wants to do with us as we become stronger light, brighter, a stronger salt and brighter light. I'll get it right. Jesus was fierce in his determination to look past people's fallen state and dream about what could happen to that person's life if they would allow God's transformational power to come inside their very existence. If. So he leaves it up to us. He doesn't say it's just going to happen automatically. He doesn't say that you're stronger salt and brighter light. Just got it. He doesn't just say that. He says we have to participate. And he encourages us to do that. We are invited this morning to spot potential in people's lives so they can make a kingdom impact. He longs to see people's lives have value so they can make kingdom impact. Many people who are unsaved are making impact. some very valuable impact. But the value of God's impact is eternal value, kingdom impact, which lasts forever. And so he wants to even transform people's success and people's impact and people's good works into kingdom works. That's what he wants to do. And he wants to make them into fisher of men. That's the transformational journey we're all on today. And that's why I love Zacchaeus. I relate to this dude. I just love what God did in his life. And I want to just help us this morning to help people, to spot people's potential, and to stop looking at them necessarily as the ones who've, well, really, they have lost their way, but that's how we view them. Jesus already knew the reality of Zacchaeus' life. He already knew he was a sinner, but he didn't start there. Amen? I should have preached this last week. We can follow Jesus' model. In these 10 verses, there's a model of how we can spot potential so people can make that kingdom impact. And I want to share those three things that I see here as a model for doing and spotting potential. And the first one is this. It's pretty simple, but it caught my attention as soon as I read chapter 18, and I read the last 10 verses of 18, and then we flow into chapter 19, and you see the whole chapter 18 and what was going on in Jesus' life. You have to understand that when he's coming, he's going to be passing through, right? It says passing through Jericho. His plan was not to stay there. He was heading into it to head out of it quickly because he was heading on to Jerusalem because he was heading into Passover week. And he had just finished communicating to the disciples that he was going to be encountering the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, and he would be suffering a tortuous death, and he would actually hang on a cross and die for all mankind. He had just finished communicating that before he entered into Jericho. Now, if I had just been told that I was going to face death on a cross, I don't think I'd be thinking of other people. Just knowing my personality, I wouldn't be thinking about other people. But Jesus is coming in onto the scene, and he's coming into Jerusalem, and he's thinking, but he ministers to the beggar. He tells the beggar, "What do you need?" "I need my sight." "Good, your faith has just healed you." He moves out of that, and he moves into Jericho, and the crowd is pressing all around. And what are they doing? They're praising him. They're praising him because he just had performed a miracle. Before the miracle, he had encountered the rich young ruler. And it said he had loved the rich young ruler, but his heart was broken because the rich young ruler had just turned his back on an opportunity to receive Christ in the kingdom of God. So his heart is overwhelmed at this point. And so many times our situations, our life experiences, the way we feel will actually redirect what I'm going to talk about. And Jesus models for us that to be ready for the opportunities to spot potential. Be ready, despite what you're going through, for the opportunities to spot the potential. We see that in verses 1 to 4. And so he didn't overlook Zacchaeus' current spiritual state. He was very aware of that. What he did is he capitalized on the possibility of moving Zacchaeus to the next step. He wanted to get him in the next step, moving towards the kingdom of God so he could have impact. Now, if you know, Zacchaeus' name in Hebrew actually means pure and righteous. Isn't that something? He was living anything but a pure and righteous life. He wasn't living up to his name's potential. Just his name alone. If he had actually done what his parents had named him to do, he wouldn't have been hated. He wouldn't have been despised. He wouldn't have defrauded everybody. He wouldn't have been this chief tax collector. The chief tax collector was the main, he was the chief of the tax department of Jericho in Jerusalem. He worked for the Romans and everybody hated him. He had a whole slew of other tax collectors that reported to him. And so he was always thinking of who he was and what he needed and what he wanted in life, and he would use the people to get those things. Now, Jesus is looking straight through his character into the potential of those qualities. He knows that he has influence, but he's using his influence incorrectly. He knows that he has overcome certain things in his life. He is short in stature and has to climb a tree, right? So he has some limitations to begin with, and with some of those limitations come some attitude issues, usually, especially if you're not redeemed. My sister's 4'9", and she's a powerhouse, and if you get in her way, her dukes are up, and that is it. You're wiped right out. I am telling you the truth. Nobody messed with her ever since she was probably 3'9". It just comes with the territory, right? So he had some major attitude issues, but Jesus is looking through those attitude issues, and he says, okay, there's some limitations. He's an overcomer. He is influenced. He's misused his influence. And he was aware that there was a huge crowd. How did this little guy push through the crowd and get to the tree? The guy was curious. The guy was determined. Jesus likes determined people. He likes curious people. What they're curious about, he doesn't care. He just needs to know that's in their spirit. Because once that's redeemed, once that's taught, once that's brought under the lordship of Jesus, that person can be an impact person for the kingdom of God. And so he's looking at the negative qualities. He's aware of them, but he's not concentrating on them. He's seeing. And that's when we're witnessing, when we're sharing our faith, when we're hoping for someone's salvation, we need to, you can list all the things they're doing wrong, but God's saying, look at the potential of their future. Don't look at where they're at today. That's not where they're going to stay. Your responsibility is not to list their sin and tell them that. Let them tell you that. Your responsibility is to pray for that, that God, who has the power to change that and transform that, will come on the scene and begin to change. Even if they don't receive Christ, he will begin to change those qualities to draw them into Christ. Are you following me? Very important to understand. Don't miss an opportunity to spot potential. Don't be intimidated by somebody else's intimidation. Ooh. Just because they've got their dukes up doesn't mean they're not intimidated. Just because they're pushing you away and telling you they don't believe what you're talking about, it doesn't mean they're not intimidated by what you're talking about. It doesn't mean that they're not going to think about it. They're going to think about it. Until they receive Christ. So that might be for some time. And so your responsibility is not to criticize. It's not to judge. It's to share the message. It's not to be intimidated by their limitations and make them your limitations. And that's where a lot of people stop sharing the gospel, is they feel that their limitations will limit them. Well, Zacchaeus was short, but Zacchaeus showed Jesus there was potential in him by putting that aside and initiating the encounter. I want you to be more aware that people who are around you who are resisting can actually be initiating an encounter. Wow. So true. And that's what was happening. A few weeks ago, I was mailing some things before I came into work. And it was the, you know, the 2 weeks before Easter, and I had encouraged everybody else, you know, make sure you pray for your impact list and make sure you hand out some, you know, the invites. And so I wanted to do that myself to participate as well. And so I had been doing that. And so I thought, gee, I've been a faithful saint and I'm just a good boy for Jesus, you know. And so so I'm driving through and just dumping my mail in. I'm ready to head out. And the Lord says, I want you to park the car. And I want you to go in and see Will. I'm like, well, Will wasn't there the other day. I'm sure he's not in today. I'm thinking this, right? The Lord says, park the car and go in and see Will. Take with you 2 invitations. So I said, okay, I know the voice of God. Yes, I will do it. I pull the car around, park it, go in, take 1 invitation, not 2. And so, okay, I'm just being honest with you, okay? Because I know some of you are just like me. So I'm just helping you through your own dilemma like I had to be helped through. So I go in, and Will is there. And then they have this new clerk that I actually had the other day, and she's new, so she's learning all the ropes, right? So I'm like, I'll probably get her anyway. So I'm hoping I'll get her, and the Lord said, no, I want you to ask the lady behind you to go before you, because if she goes before you, then you get to Will. So I turned to the lady and I said, ma'am, would you like to go before me? I have a lot of packages. She said, no, you go. I said, lady, please go before me. So she goes before me, and she goes to the other clerk, and Will is there. Will and I have been building a relationship since I've got here. Very, you know, just very casual, and so I'm shaking. I can tell I'm nervous. I'm sweating. I've got my invite. I'm just like, he's not going to go, Lord. And he said, I didn't say he was going to go. I asked you to give him an invite. But as I was standing there waiting for this opportunity to go, there was this little boy. He was 3 years old about. He's throwing this soccer ball into this can. And his grandma's getting a little frustrated because the ball's going this way and she's screaming at him. He's starting to cry. And grandpa's just standing there in line. And she's like, grandpa, get the kid. Grandpa wouldn't get the kid. So the kid's screaming because granny has to take the ball away. And the Lord says, open up your arms and hold the little boy. I'm like, Lord, people don't like you to touch their kids. So I open up my arms, and the little kid ran into my arms. I pick him up, ask him what his name is. His name is Dylan. He starts taking my glasses, and he's going to throw them. I grab my glasses and put them back on, and we start this little interactive thing. And that lasted. I got to go to Will, talk to Will, gave him an invite, wished him a very happy Easter. And I said, Will, if you can't come this week or next week, just come. I really would love you to be my guest. Yeah. So I exit, and this little boy, Dylan, screaming in the car, bye, bye. And the Lord said, that's who the second invite was for. Go get the invite. So I go back to the car, and as I'm doing that, the Lord says, get it, you know, just get it and get it over there quickly. Well, I had some loonies in my car. Loonies are Canadian bucks. I had just been up to Canada. So I thought, that'd be a cool gift for the kid. So I go to the grandma. I said, would you mind if I gave your little grandson a loony? And she looked at me like, what is, like, you must be loony. I said, oh, I'm Canadian, and these are like a dollar bill. You can get him something to eat with that. She's like, oh, cool. Well, really, it's only 70 cents in America. But anyway, cheap Canadian that I am, I should have given them 2 loonies. And so here I am. And then I give the car to the grandmother and I invite her, and she said, oh, I know where Joy Community Church is. Then the grandpa starts screaming at me, I want a card too! I'm like, well, you can just use her card. And the Lord said, go back to the car and get another card. Go back to the car and get another. So the whole family's happy. Now, what's the lesson from the story? Spot potential. It wasn't Will that God was after. It was the grandpa and grandma and that little boy. It was Dylan. Dylan was what God was after, a 3-year-old little boy. You see, I could have missed that opportunity had I driven through, just dropped it off, right? It is the still small whisper of God. Many times it is. And, you know, a lot of people say, well, God told me this and God told me, well, God does speak. And when it comes to somebody else's salvation, God does speak. He's very interested in that soul. Were they here at Easter? Absolutely not. I checked for them. Will I get to see Will again? Yes, I will. And I'm praying for him. And one day, he will come here. One day. Right? That's not my responsibility. And when you're stronger salt and brighter light, it allows you to realize it really, I do my part, God does his part. I seize the opportunity and spot God's potential. I do what I'm asked to do, sometimes reluctantly, but I do it, right? He's not asking for perfect people to be stronger salt and brighter light. He's asking for availability. And so this week, I really want you to look at yourself and say, am I always preoccupied? Am I so busy that I miss the moments of spotting God's potential? What is it? How do I do that? Because we're invited to spot potential in people's lives so they can make kingdom, they can have kingdom impact. That's what he wants. I can't wait. I could only imagine that little boy, Dylan, who's just all over the map with energy, what God could do in that little child's life once he receives Jesus. That was exciting to me. The second thing that Jesus modeled for me that I see is found in verses 5-7. Read it with me. When Jesus reached the spot, underline that, reached the spot. That's important. He looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must, underline must, stay at your house today. So he stayed in the tree. Does it read that? No, it doesn't. It says, so he came down, what? At once, and welcomed him gladly. We're so shocked when people respond. We're so shocked that people might even have a good attitude towards us being stronger salt and brighter light. We're so shocked that if we stopped in the moment and we're not preoccupied and we do what God asks us to do, that he might actually download the next steps for us to communicate. Yes. We're so preoccupied with where we're going, what we're doing, what's happening in life, we're not ready to hear him, what he's communicating, so we can give next steps. And that's the next thing he models. He communicates very clearly next steps so people can experience kingdom impact. He is so concerned about that Zacchaeus's potential that it says he stops and he looks up. He's paying attention. He wants to be involved. And when we're, you know, sometimes we're just quickly sharing the message. But God invests immediately. When he knows there's potential and there's an opportunity for somebody to receive Christ and they might be ripe for the picking, he's saying, can you please give them your full attention? And reschedule your schedule, change your agenda, move on the scene, stop exactly in the place and meet them where they're at. Not where you want them to be. Meet them where they're at. And so because Jesus is capable of meeting people where they're at, he's able to communicate the next steps to them. It's not because he knows where they can be, but he knows where they're at. And he's so concerned at where they're at that he stops immediately dead in his tracks, looks up, and he says, I'm making myself available right now. Let's change this situation. Love that about Jesus. A.W. Tozer said this. He said, the widest thing in the universe is not space. It is the potential capacity of the human heart. Being made in the image of God, it is capable of almost unlimited extension in all direction. I love that. And that's what Jesus was so good at. Jesus understood the heart of man. Jesus was able to get to the heart of the matter immediately. He did it in such a respectful, dignified way, but he went right, straight to the heart of the matter. How do I know that? Because he said, today. For today. Now, when you go into the Greek analysis of just that one word, it's not today in the way that you and I would think it. That's what makes it interesting and actually verifies what I'm saying, is that today verifies that the presence of salvation is in your midst, which makes sense when he said, behold, today is the day of salvation, right? And for you and your household. So he's saying, he said that twice in the same 10 verses, and he's saying, right now, in your presence, I'm offering salvation. Wow. So in the moment, I'm aware of what you need. I'm paying attention to what you need. I'm being concerned about what you need. And I am present. And I'm telling you right today, for today, right now in this moment, salvation is in your midst. And when you're being, translate that into us who carry Christ, and we're light, the light of Christ. So when I go into a situation that I'm not familiar with, that's something out of the ordinary, I'm understanding that because I have the gospel of Christ, I understand its message and what it can do to transform a life, and I bring that life, I bring that love, I bring that light that I talked about last week, I usher in the resurrection power as I begin to connect in the moment, at the time, not changing where they're at, and I say to the person, for today, let's just deal with today. Amen? He wasn't thinking of what was going to happen after that, because he didn't know what the exercise of his will would be. We know he got down from the tree because the story tells us. But Jesus had to say, for today, I'm just letting you know, the presence of God is in your midst and salvation is here. And Jesus is saying, when you stand up, when I went to Will, Jesus was saying, when I handed that invitation, Will, whether you know it or not, the presence of God is in your midst. Whoa, I had never seen that before. I'm just saying, thank you, Jesus. I want to be brighter light. I want to be a part of your presence. And then he says, I must stay at your home. We take that for granted. Nowhere else in all the Gospels did Jesus ever invite himself to be a guest at anybody else's house. This is the first time he did it. And he didn't make it an invitation, he made it a requirement. Isn't that something? You must, I must stay at your house. For today, I must stay at your house. If somebody came to my door, knocked on my door and said, for today, I must stay at your house, I'd say, go take a royal hike. I'm busy right now. Not Jesus. Actually, Greta would let them in. You know what I'm saying? I'm telling you what I would say. So, but I'm just telling you, he's in the moment. He's dealing with the situation. He now says, I'm not requesting. I'm telling you something that's somewhat of a command. Because I know what's good for you. What we do is we back off. We get the message, we hear, we're in the moment, we have something that's really essential, God downloads it to us, but because we're intimidated by who they are, what their situation might be, we don't speak into the moment the current word of the Lord. We don't minister that we just have actually left our devotion time or church time and we're filled with the Spirit of God and we're going out and we're just going back home and God might have something for us to do in the next few hours. Does that not thrill you? It should thrill you because he's saying to us, I'm one and I want you to be one who spots potential so that others can have kingdom impact. He's so interested in it. I love what Dale Carnegie stated. He said, men are developed the same way gold is mined. Several tons of dirt must be moved to get to 1 ounce of gold. But you don't go into the mine looking for dirt. You go into the mine looking for gold. That's what Jesus did. And this week I prayed and I said, Jesus, I just want to be like you. Help me not to look for the dirt. Help me look for the gold. He'll do the refining, right? Refiner's fire, right? That's up to him. And more people back off when they hear we're Christians and they say we're hypocritical, they say we're judgmental, they say we're critical, and we see that they are in here. As soon as Jesus goes to the to be a guest of this notorious sinner, everybody starts complaining and grumbling, and they should have been happy. The guy was going to be changed, and they weren't going to be taxed and defrauded and ripped off. No, but they're actually, through the pride of their own sight and their eyes and their own understanding, they couldn't see what Christ was about to do for them. Whoa. Jesus had the ability to look for gold and not for dirt in people's lives. Ask God to help you look for gold and not dirt, so that you can communicate next steps. I know that there have been opportunities that I was given, but because I looked at the situation from my own perspective, and I wasn't in the moment, and I wasn't ready to hear God download and communicate to me, I did it through my own flesh, only to cause a resistance to the gospel. I'm sure you've experienced that. I'm open to doing it, but sometimes I just don't do it the right way. Maybe I should say many times I haven't done it the right way. Probably so. But I do want to be stronger salt and brighter light. I'm encouraged. Go with me to verse 8, please. But Zacchaeus stood up. He was short, so he stood up. I wonder if you could see him. You know? He stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord. I guess he couldn't see him because he had to remind him to look, right? Look, Lord. Here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody, who? Anybody. Oh, powerful. Out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. And Jesus said to him, today salvation. Oh, what? Today. Today. Salvation has come to this house. Now, be careful with that word house. That house, word house, is, means him and his household receives a blessing. That's what it means, okay? The whole house wasn't saved. He comes to the Lord, and the house is blessed. His family is blessed because he's now in the kingdom of God, just so you understand that. And so he says that, because this man, too, is the son of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save that what was lost. And I see Jesus. So Jesus modeled now for us. He says, be ready for opportunities. He says, have clear communication of the next steps, right? And then he says to me, as I look at this, he says, believe that God's transforming power can change lives. Before you strike up the band and strike up a communication, make sure you have the faith to believe God can do what God says he wants to do in the word. Challenge your own faith. And if, I'm not sure who it was, I think it was the man who said, help me with my unbelief to believe. What was that, Greta, that you preached? Help. Yeah, I believe, but help me with my unbelief, right? That doesn't mean we're not believers. It just means, Lord, give me the faith to believe in what you're about to do, right? And so he's really encouraging him. And so here he is. Well, Jesus believes. Jesus knows that God's going to actually raise him from the dead. He knows that. He understands that. He knows that before he goes to the cross, right? He can talk about transformational power because he just witnessed a miracle with the blind beggar. What do you want me to do? And he's almost like saying to Zacchaeus, What do you want me to do for you? Right? Let me go to your house. Let me talk to you. Let me minister to you. And I love Jesus because he's in the moment. He breaks the barrier of social criticism, and he breaks the barrier of all people who put God in a box and what God looks like, and he says, no, go to the worst of all people's houses and spend time with him. Now, that word, stay, means I'm lodging for the evening. He wasn't planning on leaving Jericho now. Agenda change, program change, plan change, I'm lodging with you. That did not happen according to the law of the Pharisees. You weren't supposed to spend time before the Passover with something filthy. You did not do that. And Jesus is violating their mindset and their behavior and ethic code for the life of eternal value. And so Zacchaeus is willing to make restitution, and that's proof that his conversion is genuine. And it's the fruit of a genuine conversion, not the recommendation in the sense of the requirement for salvation. He's not saying by good works you're going to get saved. We're seeing it's the fruit of a heart that's transformed by the power of God. And then Zacchaeus' life, we know it was built on money. We know it was built on his goals, his purposes. His very identity as a person was built on the importance of all wealth and material existence. And now he's saying he's going beyond what the law required. If you go to Leviticus chapter 6 and you go to Numbers chapter 12, you'll see what was required. And it's actually 1/5 of anything that you robbed of something. 1/5 is to be replaced. He's giving 4 times the amount. And then he's giving as well to the poor, which he understands. He knew the scripture that a man that's righteous and gives to the poor, it says in Psalms, that the blessing of God shall be upon them. So don't think they don't know the word of God. Don't think they haven't heard the word of God. Don't think that somehow that seed that perhaps somebody else planted isn't ruminating, and God's now using you to water that and communicate the next steps. And now he's saying, believe with me that this person can come into the kingdom of God. And believe, immediate transformation. Amen? Amen. We're in a day of immediacy anyway. You turn on your microwave and you want your coffee in a minute. Why can't he begin to transform somebody's life and take them out of darkness and bring them into light, and something glorious by the power of God happen, and we believe it and our faith rises and we're like, hey, I want to be in on this, Lord. Let's do more of this.
Thank you, Jesus.
That's exciting.
Yes, it is.
Jesus came and brought life. Zacchaeus responds, and Jesus declares that God was... He had a divine purpose for Zacchaeus. He shares his mission. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. And that word save is so important to understand. That's total redemptive power at work in an unbeliever's heart. That's what's taken place. The one who had wandered away from his God has now wandered towards and has embraced the fullness and life that comes from the gospel of Jesus Christ. Pray and believe that God's transformational power will change the next person you spot potential in. I want you to quietly think of one person right now. Could be on your impact list. One person. One person, I want you to pray that you can meet them this week. Just a quick, either a phone call, an email, a card, a connection, that you can be stronger salt and brighter light. That you can help that person because you're ready for an opportunity to spot their potential. You can tell them and communicate the next steps of their potential. And then you can also believe that God's transformational power will come into their life and they can stand up as Zacchaeus did, and say, I am a transformed person. Boy, do we need more of that in church, don't we? I am a transformed, I had my breakthrough. That's what Zacchaeus is saying. I've got a breakthrough, Jesus. I'm not who I was. Let me show you what that means, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
I am now a changed man by the power of my Heavenly Father. Do we not want that for people? Let's bow our heads and let's really go and ask God to do that for us. Lord Jesus, you're really challenging my own heart to see people differently, to believe that all things are possible. And Lord, I pray for those people that we've been praying for, thinking about, ministering to over the last 6 weeks. And in the natural, that situation seems impossible. Right now, there's some limitations, walls, barriers. But Lord, you're saying, just as you said, that all things are possible in God. And Lord, we hear that wonderful question echo through our minds this morning. What do you want me to do for you? Lord, would you download that opportunity? Would you fill our hearts with new love and grace for those who are far from God? Would you allow us the courage to walk across the room in the most natural way into somebody else's sphere, space, to share the good news of Jesus Christ? We're asking, Father, that you would anoint us with the transformational power of God. Anoint us to say, for today, the presence of God is in your midst. Whew. What an exciting thought that is to me. Lord, we just pray for salvation to come to many households in the 6 streets that we pray for, in this neighborhood at large, in the city of Rochester, in our workplaces, in our neighborhoods, in our families. Father, would you come on the scene as you did for Zacchaeus, so concerned about where he was at, so desiring to meet him in the moment he was at, understanding the reality of his sinful lifestyle, but seeing, not his sin, seeing the potential of the qualities of God within him. Open our eyes, open our hearts to see those qualities in others and situations that we're involved in. And give us the grace to speak truth. Lord, we know that you're inviting us this morning to spot potential in other people's lives, that they can have kingdom impact, just as you've given us, in Jesus' beautiful and precious name. Amen. We're going to open up the altar, have a time of prayer. If you would like prayer this morning, encouragement this morning, if you need a breakthrough this morning, and if you need Jesus just to show up under your fig tree, the sycamore tree for you, come on up and we'll pray for you. God bless you. Have a great week. Loving Jesus.
Thank you for listening. For more information, please visit us at joycc.info.